Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Greg Pickle here with me, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've got some Penn State Indiana talk to get to. Obviously, a big week coming up with Ohio State. Penn State gets back on the back in the win column. We'll hear from James Franklin from after the win over Indiana, 34-27. He had a lot of things to say, including a little talk about fullbacks. So I'm looking forward to hearing from that segment brought to you by our new partners with DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, officially available in Pennsylvania. It's a trusted leader in daily fantasy. DraftKings has brought their expertise to legal sports betting and is already America's top-rated sports app. With so much going on this week, you'll definitely want to take advantage of the convenience to bet whenever, wherever, with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. They've got a pretty cool deal running, and I know Greg capitalized on one of their other cool deals this past weekend, but this week, DraftKings has pro football promo you won't want to miss. It's simple. You just place a bet on Pittsburgh to win over Cincinnati, and you get $6 for every touchdown they score. That's the Steelers and Bengals. What's the spread on that one? Six and a half.
Yep.
So I would suspect with those winless Bengals, we could see the Steelers start to roll up some points. We could afford to see a little bit more from the Steelers offense, but the Bengals has a way. They have a way of bringing that out. So it's an awesome deal. You $6 for every touchdown the Steelers score.
Yeah, I had that with the Eagles on Sunday, and that didn't work out exactly as I planned it to. But what are you going to do?
What in your life ever works out the way
very
you
little,
it
but man, if you had told me the Eagles were going to give up 17 points to the Patriots and lose, I don't think I believed you. That was a tough one on Sunday.
I tried to tell you, but yeah. So to get on that great deal, and there's another great deal through us here at KSN, you download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. You use code KSN when you sign up for a limited time. All new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Don't forget, that's code KSN for all new and existing users to get a deposit bonus up to $500. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So let's get into the Penn State Indiana matchup here, Greg. 34-27. Penn State rebounds from the loss to Minnesota. Minnesota doesn't rebound from the win over Penn State. They lose at Iowa, which is like a horror ground for every team except for Penn State, it seems. Penn State doesn't have a whole lot of bad luck playing
at Kinnick Stadium. I just feel as if that's such an I feel it's an excuse. It's like a built-in excuse for anyone that loses to Iowa. Oh, Kinnick Stadium. It, you know, Minnesota didn't play well enough to win.
Right.
And Iowa figured out how to slow those cornerbacks down, which Penn State couldn't do.
Well, I think just Iowa, they try to slow everything down, you know, defensively. That's a tough cookie to crack. Especially on the home field.
Even walks in slow motion. So, yeah, you got a good point there.
Everything. Penn State, this was a ranked Indiana team, by the way. It's easy to forget. You know, Penn State is 22-1, I think, now over Indiana. They haven't lost Indiana at home. So it's easy to forget that that's a pretty good side that came into Beaver Stadium. Penn State wins it. They take a lead late in the first quarter. They don't ever give that lead back. I know that there, you know, it was an interesting little back and forth beyond that, but they do it without KJ Hamler. What's your read on, you know, how good of a win this was, how important it was, and the performance in general?
Oh, I think you have to take it, right? I mean, so you can be frustrated about how the defense played, and it's a big problem going into Columbus next week, no doubt about it. But at some point, you just have to realize that Penn State had to win this game to set up that showdown against Ohio State. And I have a hard time getting too worked up over the fact that this was a close game or anything like that, because it doesn't matter. I mean, the result next week in Ohio State matters, or this coming week, rather. So is the defense seemingly in shambles? Yeah. And I don't know how they're, you know, I was telling somebody on Sunday, it almost feels like they need to make a trade, which of course you can't do in college football. But I feel
who would you trade? Who would you trade, and who would you trade for?
Maybe it'll be another segment here later today. But yeah, I mean, I think that they need help in the secondary. The problem, I think, over the last 2 weeks, and I don't know how they fix it in 5 days before they head to Ohio Stadium, is that the safeties are typically too slow in zone, and the corners can't play press man. So it's kind of a problem. What options do you have at that point?
I would trade. I'm sorry, I'm just not over this. I'm enthralled by the idea of trading. I would trade. I don't think Minnesota would trade Antoine Woodfield Jr. straight up for Cam Brown, but I think maybe you do Cam Brown, Antonio Shelton for Antoine Woodfield Jr. They need some help in their
front
seven.
Move, yeah.
Penn State could use a playmaker.
On the phone,
we'll call him up. We'll see if he'll row down here to Pennsylvania and make the trade. Anyway, the drive. I wanted to definitely mention, you know, the drive, because this was something we've seen from Penn State a couple times this year now that I don't know that we've seen twice before, where they had an opportunity to put the game on ice and to take some of the late game drama out of it. And they actually did it this time, and they were pretty aggressive in doing it. 18 plays, 75 yards, 9 minutes or so of drive time, 2 fourth down conversions. The offensive line was getting push. Everybody knew what was coming. They were able to do it anyway. Was that not the most refreshing thing that you saw in this game, was their ability to stretch that lead to 10 with a drive that all but killed the clock?
That was one of the I would call that one of the most impressive drives of the James Franklin era. Yeah. I mean, they've had some good ones. Minnesota 27. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not in terms of significance for the program, maybe it's not as big as some of the other drives they've had. But in terms of wanting to see something and actually seeing it come to fruition, I mean, they it was perfect. I mean, they get the ball back there and they give it back to Indiana only after they ran a ton of time off the clock and scored what ended up being the game-winning touchdown. So it was really impressive. They dug in. The offensive line was very good. And they didn't make any mistakes all the way down the field.
Later in the show, we'll hear from James Franklin about this directly. But basically, you know, I think the work they've done as a program to assess their run game and to try to be a little bit more creative, a little more inventive, a little bit more versatile, I think that's a big part of it, and that's paying off. I think the offensive line, James Franklin nailed it, you know, a couple weeks ago. The less you're talking about these guys, the better they're doing. And we haven't talked about this group very much at all.
Right.
So I think in a time like that, that was their moment. I think that this is an opportunity where people are kind of talking about them. They were able to move people. They stayed on more or less on schedule throughout, right? Like I don't really have the recall to to look back on all 18 plays, but they were with the chains every step of the way, and you can't help but credit the offensive line for that.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't face a lot of adversity on that drive, because they didn't put themselves in a situation to face any adversity, and that's something this offense hasn't always done. I do find it interesting that after all the times we talked about how bad the 4-minute offense was over the years, it's become really good now, almost reliable at this point. And there's something to be said about that. I know that the offensive line still gets a lot of flack. I know Matt Limegrover hears calls that he should be fired every other week, pretty much every week. And
every coach does.
Yeah.
Now it's picked up for Terry Smith with the cornerbacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are probably really wondering out loud about Brent Pry. So I guess it just comes with the territory.
It does. I mean, and I understand it, but it ultimately, I think – there's a lot of people that are mad about the way the secondary is playing. I don't think it's a development problem. I just think that – and these are 4-star recruits that are out there. I just – maybe they weren't as good as we thought they were. Maybe the scheme doesn't play – but I don't know what it is. But how do you shut down – you know, there's inconsistencies, I guess. And Minnesota, you know, James – and we'll get to that quote, I guess. But, you know, James Franklin comes in and says, well, Indiana passes over, all over everybody. That goes back to what we always talk about on this show, is that Penn State too often doesn't stop the other team's biggest strength. And then James Franklin comes in and says, well, they did it to everyone. Well, you're not everyone. You're the number 9 team in the country, and you should have more answers for these things than you do. And I hate to talk that way after a loss, but again, you don't want to get too worked up about this particular game, because, you know, ultimately it matters what Penn State does at Ohio State. But if you can't stop Peyton Ramsey and those receivers, how are you going to stop Justin Fields and the Buckeyes receivers? That's the question everybody wants to know at this point. And
the bigger thing is, it's Peyton Ramsey and those guys. It's Tanner Morgan and those guys. It's Kenny Pickett and those guys.
Right.
You know, any offense that, you know, it's part of their strength, part of what they know how to do to get the ball out quickly and to take advantage of those matchups. You know, Penn State has struggled against that.
And the other thing, Dustin, is that, you know, this wasn't a situation like Minnesota where the quarterback was getting the ball out of his hands quick. Peyton Ramsey, I didn't time it. I wish I would have in hindsight. But Peyton Ramsey, it's not like he sat in the pocket, you know, and threw it immediately. He had time back there, and Penn State didn't get home, whether they blitz safeties, whether it was the pass rush, you know. Penn State, again, this pass, you know, we can complain about the secondary, and we have and will, I'm sure, but the defensive line's not doing any favors for them because they're giving these quarterbacks too much time to throw.
Well, I think that's – I mean, why wait, by the way? Why wait to discuss that?
Yeah, why?
I think it's one of the – and here's the thing. Like, when Penn State is winning games, they're 8-0, and we're still kind of harping on – the things that we're not seeing.
Oh, you know,
it's for this reason.
Yeah.
Right? You're looking for the symptoms that suggest whether they can or can't play with better teams, because of course they're beating these teams.
Yeah.
And this is a symptom that we've discussed for a while. The idea of, you know, complementary football. This isn't exactly how James Franklin means it, but there's a complementary relationship between the pass rush and the defensive backfield. And that relationship isn't really going anywhere right now.
Yeah.
So I think that is perfectly fine to try to assess. Even after a winning performance, because, you know, one of the most potent offenses in the country, you're going to go play them on their home field. It's okay to wonder, can the pass rush step up to the plate? Because they haven't. Are these cornerbacks, are they good enough? You know, I think that's fair to ask right now. Are these guys good enough? You know, John Reed is a fine player. Is he a number one lockdown corner? I think we've seen over time that he probably isn't. Tariq Castro Fields, he's making the jump from that number three corner to now he's a starter and more of an every down guy. Is he what you expected or what you wanted him to be? It's fair to say that he hasn't shown that yet. But, you know, I think it's okay to ask about these things. It's okay to ask about the pass rush and why they're not getting there. It could be a problem against Ohio State.
Well, yeah, it absolutely could. And save me the overtures about, oh, this team is, you know, a year ahead of schedule. Okay. That it's a Penn State basketball syndrome. It is. Oh, next year's the year. And Penn State basketball, maybe it is their year. I don't know. But they looked pretty good in that win over Georgetown. But
yeah, maybe the football fans are taking that as a compliment.
But, you know, I mean, you can't waste opportunities in college football, because look at Alabama. They you know, obviously it's their year, more years than not. Now they're down their starting quarterback who dislocated his hip. You can't waste opportunities when you have a good record to make the playoffs, and you can't sit back and say, oh, next year will be different, because you don't know next year is going to be different. So we'll get into it more in a
This should have been the year, to your point, that the pass rush was getting home, and it hasn't really so far.
Nope.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll keep talking Penn State, Indiana. Penn State wins 34-27. Ohio State coming up next.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Breaking news. DraftKings has launched America's top-rated sportsbook app in Pennsylvania. Download the top-rated DraftKings sportsbook app and sign up with code KSN. For a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code KSN. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See website for details. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.